Beautiful. Let's do the intro. Let's do the intro, Purvu.
Do I speak? I don't
know. Yeah, you can speak.
Oh, I can speak.
You remember this before?
Oh, my God.
Let me give the title. Let me give the title, and then you can blabber on as you always do. ladies and gentlemen, hi there. This is Todd Vanell, and I am host of Comedy Above the Pub, the very podcast you're listening to. We are part of the Entertainment One podcast network. That's right. Comedy Above the Pub. The pub is fake. The guests are real. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today return guest. Return.
Blabber extraordinaire.
Blabber extraordinaire!
And Purvu.
Yes, and Purvu.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
It's so great that you have come back. You are one of the favorites. You have been... People have hassled me to get you back.
I am so happy to hear that, Tom.
That's right. And now that's when the coughing started. I think the experiment went well. I think Ernie is currently sleeping in a box outside.
I didn't even. I totally forgot he existed.
That's right. Thank God. So yeah, this works. We can actually do this. So thank you for sliding by. And if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, from her first stint here, she's a wonderful actor. Oh. She is a magazine publicist. Can we say that?
Publicista. I'll take it.
Pet magazine. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's an
PEP.
Online
affair. Everyone's like pet. Yes, I do love pets.
That's
but
right.
No, it's pet.
Pep. Fancy. That's
pep,
right.
Pep worthy. Pep life.
Check out the 14 ways to keep your dog from humping other dogs. Number 7 will blow your mind.
The Todd Van Allen story.
That's right. Oh my God, it's like you've been to every episode of Write 'Em Up that we do, because that is always one of the tropes they do in Write 'Em Up, which is at Comedy Bar, coming up soon. Anyway, let's talk about what you're doing and what we talk about. We talk about the hashtag MeToo.
Yeah, we do. How did we even do that? I don't know, but it was awesome, and thank you for that.
Because you're going to L.A.
L.A.
We also talk about my dog humping and eating shit. And
A lot.
And we also talk about empowerment. And yes. It's really kind of fun and sweet and all those fun things. You're going to L.A. You're doing a web series. Can we tell people what the title of the web series is or no? Okay, no. That's fine.
Well, sure it's really funny.
Okay, I hope so.
It's really funny. Okay. You're going to love this. I'm going to come back and I'm going to dish.
Don't tell me what
I'm
like.
I'm going to dish.
Okay. I look forward to having you back. We're also going to talk about the other project that we can't talk about.
We talk a lot about not talking about things.
Yeah, that's right.
But this involves vampires, and it's very exciting.
This is having you on here is like when we have Carolyn Bennett on and she can't talk about anything. It's so great.
Isn't it awesome? Don't you just want to do more?
I do. Could you tell me something you're doing? Well, I'm on this podcast. Shut up.
Get out.
Speaking of get out, before we go, I'll just let people know where they can find me. February 23rd and 24th, I am at Showtime Comedy Club in St. Catharines. That following Sunday, I'll be Jimmy Jazz doing a show in Guelph, Ontario. March 3rd, I believe, is the next Write 'Em Up. We have some very special details coming out about that. Watch us online for that. When I say us, I just mean me at Hayes TVA. That's fine. And then I start going out west in March. All of the dates out west in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and BC can be found at my website, which is HayesTVA.com/calendar.
That sounds awesome.
It's going to be great. I love going out west. I get to see my family. It's so fun. So and the crowds out west are great.
Yeah.
Regina.
I was just in Edmonton.
Saskatoon.
My fam's in Edmonton.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. You're going to love it. And you're going in March. So some of the snow will be gone.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah. The drive to Grand Prairie is the one that I find concerning, but we'll figure it out.
Cold air.
This has taken a turn. All right, let's get into the episode. Here's Anne, here's me, and here comes the music. So this he learned today. First of all, I was to the listener. This is the grand experiment. Ernie is in his cage, and I ran 7 shades of shit out of him this morning. So I was like,
that we have a theme this morning.
Right,
this is like
really right. Welcome to the shit show. That's where we are.
2018.
There we are. I think we should both dab for that. So I ran I ran him in. He's got a routine where we go to the enclosed area at the local dog park, and he plays around there.
Yeah.
And he just, for whatever reason, got picked on today. And he's starting to get this, and I think we found this out, that dogs, if they're still intact, because he still has his balls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They will get picked on. Let's hear it for balls.
Go, Ernie, go.
Oh, Ernie. Can't impregnate anyone. No, we can't.
Oh, don't
it's,
go.
It's okay. We can't have. I don't want him being deadbeat dad. I don't want that.
I don't see that happening with you guys tonight.
I don't know. I was just like,
surprise! The family's getting bigger.
he gets a phone call from a mysterious number. Suddenly he says, I'm going out for smokes. And then he never comes back. And it's like, when did he start smoking? That's something. Okay.
With that face? I mean, he's so cute. I would not be surprised.
There's moments where he'll pick up sticks and he just like has them hanging out of his mouth like Winston Churchill on a just chomping on a cigar.
It's just
every time I show him, yeah, that's the way you do it, boys. That's the voice I give him for that. So he was getting picked on today like a lot. Like he ended up on his back and stuff, and it's like he found a couple of his friends, but like this other dog would just keep hammering at him, right? So then we got outside the park, we threw the ball a bit and, you know, threw some sticks, and so we started to calm down. So I took him on the big walk because I figured the more exhausted I make him, the easier yours and my time will be together. So
pre-planning. I love this.
Yes. So this elderly couple, or retirees, are walking through, and they have this lovely white Pomeranian, about 5 years old. And Ernie and him just start playing, like just bam, because it's like this, finally, I got my one-on-one time with him. And he's just bam, 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 bam. And I'm talking with the owners, and they're going, oh, these two are really playing well together. Oh, they're both going to be tired today. It's like, yeah, that's it. And so they're taking turns to, like, you know, the white one's on top of Ernie, and Ernie's in the submissive position. And then Ernie takes turn, and then it pins down the white dog. And then just out of nowhere, Ernie starts fucking him.
I did not see that coming, Donnie. No,
just and out of no, like wham, like that. The
well,
ass
you
is,
know, there's a fine line between
between pleasure and pain. Is there?
Mm-hmm. You and I know
that?
So much.
Who was that song? Was that?
Oh, that's a Purvu original. No,
oh, God. I won't have it. I won't have it. No, that was a song from like the 80s. There's a fine line between pleasure and pain. Who did that? I don't know. Someone.
Yeah. Oh, we will figure it out. I'm whipping out the phone.
Okay, I will. On three. You know, okay.
One, two.
Through.
Oh, okay, but I need to know how this ended now.
Okay, so.
You know, I
well,
mean.
Well, now I'm apologizing to the owners for, you know, the gutter instinct of my dog.
Uh-huh.
All right?
Because, you know, you can totally do that.
Exactly.
You can take responsibility for it.
I don't know where
Come on.
He picked up this little habit. It's my base.
Cut his balls.
Right. So then, like, I'm looking at them, and I pull Ernie off. Don't pull him off. I mean, like, I remove him from the dog, you know. Our British listeners are having a lovely time with me saying, pull them off. I just looked at them and went, well, now I got a story for the wife. And she calls me because I was
Here's
taking a long
an Ernie
time.
First.
And she's like, are you guys okay? It's like, oh, yeah. But, Ernie was playing with a dog, and then he just started fucking him. And she's like, what? He's like, yep, that's our little boy. He's growing up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I had a friend that she had a little one, a little King Charles Spaniel.
Right.
And pretty much every night, let's just say, we got a show with the doggy bed and the dog.
Right.
And it was pretty much like clockwork. He was just like, oh, look, he's... Oh, no.
Yep.
Nope. He's not just hanging out. Nope. No. Yep. Things are happening. But you know what? It's just what they do.
Yeah it is. It is. That's the
so
thing.
So it's okay, Daddy.
It's fine.
New chocolate lab, Daddy.
Did you? You've had pets, right?
Yeah. Mostly cats, though.
Mostly
but
cats.
I love them.
They don't do fucking.
Well.
Well, not like random objects. I mean, like.
No.
Right?
No. Dogs are definitely much more fun and interactive when it comes to that.
Right.
But
learning an awful lot about your key parties.
Right? All are welcome.
All are welcome. That's right.
I'm open-minded, free flow. You know what I mean? Exactly. Whatever you want to do. Here's a little, here's a doggy bed. Here's a this, here's a that. but it's always entertaining, I got to say. And and there is, there's that extra excitement, you know, when you're just like, I love watching animals interact, to be honest, because they're so honest with their, you know, with their impulses, with their emotions. And when the energy's flowing.
Yeah, that's true.
Things are flowing. Now, when things come out, when other things come out, you're like, all right, okay, thank you. Thank you. Put that back. Holster that bad boy. But
it's and here's the thing. Like, I don't think he's even sexualized.
Because
he'll just, he'll be sitting there. Just like staring off in the middle distance, just like not a care in the world. And then he'll get a boner. And it's just, and he doesn't care. He doesn't look at it. He doesn't lick it. He does nothing with it. He's just like, you gotta put that thing away? He goes, what? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I like it.
Nope, just hanging, just feeling good. You know, that's what it is. He's just having fun.
He started humping recently, like within the past week or so, like yesterday.
This is the best conversation,
isn't it? The best
ever.
Yeah, welcome to Comedy of the Pub. All dog humping all the time. He started wrestling with his mattress, and then I just noticed like there was a little, like he was standing over it and shaking his head and like, okay, yeah, he's wrestling with the mattress, and then suddenly the hips got involved.
Oh yeah,
the hips got involved, right?
So he got in the rhythm.
He's starting to do this. So I'm like, what are you doing? And then he just dropped the mattress and looked so sad and went, I have just taught him shame. I have taught my dog shame.
Isn't that the best about life?
I couldn't be happier. Cats have no shame.
Not at all.
No.
No. In fact, I kind of appreciate their personality, to be honest. I think they're amazing. But it also depends. Like, I had... Yeah, let's just say one of my favorite cats of all time.
Okay.
Who I've had for a number of years. His name is PJ.
Right.
Incredible. We lost him last year, sadly, but...
I am sorry to hear.
Yeah, thank you.
You know where I come from on this one.
I do.
That's why we have a goddamn dog right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a baby. It really is. It's like it's like having a member of your family. But what I remember fondly is that whenever he was upset with us, whenever we'd be away, there would be a present. Right on the pillow when you got home, or in the middle of the bed on the blanket, just where you could see it and you can make sure that he knew, or on the couch sometimes, like, you know, like right in your favorite spot. He knew exactly where you normally sit. And then you'd come home after like a weekend away or something. And don't get me wrong, there would be people there. Like someone would always take care. Someone would always feed, you know, But like we got home and let's just say you knew he wasn't happy about the leaving portion of it. So that kind of attitude just cracks me up just thinking about it now, because it was like they're so perceptive. They know exactly, they know you, you know, and in many ways, even when you think they don't care, they actually do. It's they have just a very chill energy about them, you know, and you've got to like play with it.
There is. So Jimmy had the same issue. There was a time that I was away for 2 weeks out west doing comedy. And I came home and it was like 11 o'clock. You okay over there? Do we have some spillage?
There's some spillage. Okay. Please, let me interrupt.
All right. I didn't think the lead into this story would be the spit take, but that's fine. All right.
happening now.
Ann Purvu, easiest room. I want a room of you when I go to Grand Prairie. That's what I want.
Oh my God. There's way too much energy on this.
So I come home and it's like late at night. It's like one of the mornings, something like that. And so I don't do anything with my bag. I just leave it on the floor.
Yeah.
And I go to sleep. And I wake up in the morning, and I look over on the suitcase, and there's a turd right on top.
Yeah.
And I
the cherry.
I nudge the missus, and I go, welcome home, fuckface. Like that's he.
Subtext, anyone?
Yeah, subtext. There was no subtext. That is blunt.
It was just text. Yeah. Lots of it.
So my sister-in-law has a golden retriever, just to give another dimension of like how they age and how they do this. The golden retriever is like 12. So, so really old, and she's definitely slower than she used to be. And so she just kind of, and she's very curmudgeonly. Like, you can just see, like, how she has to deal with this 6-month-old asshole that's just bouncing around her, like that. So I'm trying to engage them both. So I'm like, I'm throwing one stick for Ernie really far. And then for Georgie, the older one, I just a little, and she's like, oh, I got one. So that she can just limp over and just, like, take a stick. So then we.
No, you got to challenge her, Ty. You got to be like, come on, girl.
She's had her time. She's had her time. So it's like she's just like thankful to have this stick, right? That she can call her own because Ernie's just been taking them all. And so like, right. So we get to this one point where they're just kind of hanging out and she's got her stick in front of her. And then Ernie comes to try and take it and she just barks the shit out of him. He's like, this is my fucking stick. You know, like, and I just like, as she's doing it, the only voice I hear is Harrison Ford's, you know, it's like, get off my stick. You know, that's all I can hear her doing. Which is wrong because she's a lady. So
totally
makes no sense. Animals do the darndest things.
I love it. Mm-hmm. It's never a dull moment. You know, I'm really happy for you. I'm happy that you got a new member of the family. He's adorable, and you know, he'll definitely keep you on your toes.
Exactly.
But what I love is that he has a sweet disposition.
He does.
And it's obviously a lovely reflection on your energy. And I truly do believe that. I honestly, they are so in tune. Animals are amazing at picking up, you know, the vibe in the household, if you know what I'm saying. So you watch, when you go to the dog park, you see some of those really aggressive dogs, it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say, it makes you wonder.
Right. So now I'm thinking, where did he learn the fucking from me? That is come now.
Are you really thinking that?
You just said.
Isn't that a thing that a man is usually like proud about? Like, yeah, Ernie, you learned that from me.
it's gonna be like one of those quiet things that I compliment him on. It's like, oh, Ernie, get off. Way to go, buddy.
Job.
Like that's
good job. Keep it up.
Well, not now. Put that away.
Time and a place. Time and a place. Read the room, Ernie.
Time and a place.
Read the room.
So, read the room.
Come on, like seriously. We're in public.
He's not doing a type 5 on Kongs. You know, hey, you ever get the kibble at the bottom of it and you can't get it out? What's the deal with that?
See what I mean, guys? Yeah. See what I mean?
So we're getting you. A matter of days before you go to L.A., we should get off dog topic because that will just be done.
There might be fun. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
You've got a big day. You got the big purse in front of you. I assume you got a couple of sandwiches in there for lunch later.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You have no idea. It's like Disneyland in there. I don't even know what is in there half the time, but I keep digging.
I did. Because you're going to be out and about today. I'm glad you could fit us in.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to
see you. Because I did the exact same thing yesterday. I had I left the house at 1 o'clock and I had my laptop bag and it was just filled with shit because I knew I wasn't going to get home until midnight and I had work to do. It was just How do you manage time? Are you effective at it or like?
I love being organized. Okay. I honestly, it makes me happy. It gives me this little thrill, you know, in fact, I thrive when I'm overly busy. If I have nothing to do, I just go insane and the mind just goes.
Yeah.
But what's been lovely this year is that I've been able to focus on things that truly make me happy and excited to be a part of.
Right.
And I've made that the focus. And so in that light, regardless of what comes at you, you're always kind of in the right place at the right time. And you have the energy to continue pushing through, you know? So I've been very lucky that way. But honestly, do you have a New Year's resolution? It's so funny because everyone's been asking me what's your New Year's resolution? And I kind of stopped doing that. You know what I mean?
It's just the end of January now.
Right?
So, right.
But my only resolution, if I have one this year, and I've had a tremendously growth-filled last 2 years, really, personally, is to be easier and to flow more with the things that truly matter and are connected to my soul.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay.
Truth dropping. Bam. And in that light, and honestly, there truly is an art to flowing with things that make sense in life. And so,
give us an example of this, where you see this kick in.
I want to surround myself with creatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, but you know, just taking it to the next level and just continuously attracting like minds, right. for example, which has been a not a challenge in the past, but like, you know, mm-hmm. just being in the right kind of scenario. And so that's been happening by itself. And when right. I talk about ease and flow, right? If you set that intention for yourself, you naturally attract those mm-hmm. kinds of individuals. And so all kinds of, the reason why the last 2 weeks have been so incredibly mm-hmm. busy is because that exact thing where right. things just come at you, opportunities come at you. You know, this, for example, this was for a lovely example. Surprise. I'm so grateful we could do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to be here. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be here if I wasn't happy to be here, exactly. Chad, under exactly. my new.
That's, you know what, like, you know? Like as simple as simplistic as that sounds, it is also difficult.
Very
because it's hard to get that filter of like when you're sifting, mm-hmm. you know, because you just want the good, nice things to remain. But it's hard to sift out all the other shit that's around that keeps you from doing that. Like, I get that.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like fairly simple. Oh, yeah, just do the good stuff. Well, there's more than that.
Oh, my goodness. Right? But the point that I was trying to say at the beginning is that the last 2 years have been so much sifting. Mm-hmm. So I kind of am very grounded in who I am at the moment.
Right.
I've done a lot of sifting. And it's been wonderful. And right. so now, with the intention of throwing myself into the projects that truly matter, mm-hmm. My goodness, it's just a very exciting momentum to 2018.
But okay, so like when you were last here, I think we were talking about Total Frat Movie and Girlfriend Experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
ooh, that
like,
was a
not,
while ago, huh?
Like not days after it seemed, suddenly you're on Rain.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are we talking about? You know, like,
that happened to me in literally like a blink of an eye. Yeah. And then it completely changed a lot of things.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah.
How was your time on Rain?
Oh, my goodness. It was honestly, it was a very exciting and creative and transformative mm-hmm. experience. I worked with such incredible people. Mm-hmm. I was, yeah.
I have to ask you at this point, because as soon as I find out someone's on Rain, I have to ask them this. Did you run into friend of the show, Marilla Wex, while you were there?
I did, there. Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's I'm
and she
sad.
She treated you poorly. What?
No. In fact, I actually was on the last season of Rain I worked on, right. which was the only season that she wasn't voice coaching mm-hmm. anyone. I don't know why, but okay. And so we kind of passed each other. Like we sort of were like little ships in the night. I met her, she's lovely.
Yeah.
And I, you know, we saw each other at the rap party, but we mm-hmm. never actually got a chance to work together, sadly. Right. And I've heard so much about her from everyone, but you know,
she was doing a ton on that show. It seemed
she
was doing like vocal, and then she sounded like she was doing like PA work and stuff like that. So it was like
it's very
so crazy.
Possible. Yeah, but sadly not on the fourth season when I was there. So I was like, ah, but it's okay. You know what? Everyone just shifts and grooves and flows. Wherever.
So describe your character in the storyline of Rain. Like when you came on. What was your place?
It was a tremendous experience, and I'm incredibly grateful for it, because I was hired to do maybe 3 episodes. There was possibly a 5-episode arc, like mm-hmm. 12 days on set, and it ended up being like 9 episodes and like over 30 some. I don't even remember what. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, months of work. And I feel very lucky for it, because I got a chance to grow with the character. Mm-hmm. And at the very beginning, first of all, the audition process was something I'd never really experienced, because mm-hmm. it was like the night before, hey, here's like, by the way, 9:30 tomorrow morning, you have an audition, British accent, here's 6 pages, go.
Right.
Here's my first episode, basically. And I was like, okay, cool. All right. Here we go. All right.
As soon as I get that email, I would be tackling the script the second I stopped pooing myself.
I was at an event. Yeah, lots of poo thing continuing. Lots of poo. I was kind of pooing. I don't really think I slept much, because I had literally like 6 hours to prep. Mm-hmm. And then I got there and I said, you know what? Whatever happens, happens. But I know this girl.
Right.
And what was exciting about her, about Nicole, is that she, there was a duality to her nature that I very much connected with.
Right.
She was basically, she starts out as a farm girl. Mm-hmm. She's a new troublemaker at the French court.
Okay.
And she's a farm girl that King Charles falls in love with right. once he runs away from court. Mm-hmm. And I basically nurture him back to being the king that he later becomes.
Right.
I then involve myself at court with the puppet pullers, the mm-hmm. string players right. at court,
right.
at the French court, and become very intrinsic in the... you know, power struggle that ensues throughout the fourth season, basically, right. Between two brothers, the two royal
That's awesome.
Brothers.
Yeah.
And the Lord Chancellor,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Craig Parker,
Listen
who's an incredible
to you.
Actor.
Listen to you.
It was such a fun experience. I honestly loved what was really exciting for me when I first tackled the character, because I noticed right away mm-hmm. she was meant to be a villainess. She was meant to be, you know, the baby Narcisse, basically. The character, Craig Parker's character, is mm-hmm. very much the puppet master, the
right.
behind-the-scenes manipulator of all things at the French court. And I was meant to be his apprentice coming into the show.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that because there is an art to, and especially being a woman in that day and age.
Right.
There are limitations as to how you can climb the ladder of power and what you can and cannot achieve. And mm-hmm. what I loved is that right off the bat, there was an ambition for her to grow
mm-hmm.
At court and right. to become, you know, to live her wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm.
She almost becomes queen
right.
of France. And then at the same time, because she was so young, there's a naive trust and mm-hmm. love and a soft heart that I personally loved injecting into the character because right. that is the context for everything. You know, like you want something in the hope that it'll make you happier.
Right.
But in the process, it's not like I didn't want her to be just a manipulator.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't just fake affection for King Charles. She didn't just fake affection for the Lord Chancellor. She actually falls in love with each of these mm-hmm. men in different ways
right.
and finds herself in different ways throughout the process. And I found that fascinating. And I was so grateful that they kept writing
right.
more and more exciting things for her. And because it was the fourth season, my gosh.
Right.
The writing on that show was amazing. Like mm-hmm. I was, you know, and I had seen bits and pieces of the other seasons before, but what was so cool about the fourth season, and we were all really sad that it ended,
mm-hmm.
But still, it's wonderful to go out on top with such exciting material. It just, there was a momentum and the storylines were getting so
right.
sharp and so tight and so exciting. And it was just a joy, honestly, to just mm-hmm. work with everyone every day. So
it's what I'm loving about television more and more is that we're seeing sort of like that sort of backstory, but like, you know, the historical pieces that you see, yes, women didn't figure prominently because it was a patriarchy,
yeah.
you know, so much,
but
you know, at least we don't have that today. They're still digging into women's backstory,
mm-hmm.
and we're starting to see them kind of come up as like, well, what was
and
it
the complexities
like for them?
Behind that?
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Like they still like it's interesting when you have these situations where like, okay, it is a British king, he's obviously in control, blah blah blah. But what was the feeder? What was the stuff that was coming into what that was being filtered in from the women that were basically holding court as, you know?
Absolutely, say, right? And it's very much a diplomacy thing, like how. Mm. How do you present certain things? How do you negotiate with
right.
each one, you know? And it was exciting to me to see that even though there were men that kept coming at her,
mm-hmm. yep.
she kept a pure heart and yet never lost sight of the idea
mm-hmm.
of growing with a sense of power
right.
and growing at court and growing, you know, climbing the social
mm-hmm.
Ladder.
Right.
But again, not in a power hungry, grubby way, but in a why not kind
right.
of way. I love me an underdog story where, mm-hmm. you know, you've got the young farm girl mm-hmm. with big dreams
right.
attaining them.
Right.
Systematically attaining mm-hmm. them and doing it with a wit and sharp
yep.
edge to mm-hmm. her, you know. It was fun. It was
yeah.
so much fun. And I loved it. I was like, how
right.
did this, you know, it was a joy to be a part of that last
sure.
season, to be honest. And I felt honored to be a part of, you know, because we didn't anticipate that the story would end so quickly. We were
right.
hoping that there would be like another 8 episodes,
mm-hmm.
even another like season would have been
right.
amazing. But, you mm-hmm. know, being a part of all of it
sure.
and, and closing out the show was very mm-hmm. cool.
The shows like that I'm loving these days, like Vikings.
Yes.
Vikings is just
how fun is Vikings?
So many good female roles in that show.
Yep.
You know, and when you sort of see, I don't, it's interesting. I will sometimes, like, as I'm watching this, go, did that happen? And so then I'll look on online and go, no, okay, they were a fairly egalitarian society and women had the same sort of, you know, right to fight as everyone else, yeah. And blah, blah, blah.
Look at Egypt. Like, it was kind of the yeah. same back then, too, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting how we evolve.
Right.
The, mm-hmm.
And then
you know what I'm saying.
I can't remember what, there was, like, another Viking story. There was another show about Vikings that came out, and I can't remember that. And we ended up watching that, and I was like, "That didn't happen. That happened like 3 months later." It's like, why is that guy? That shouldn't happen. And like, I'm just getting mad, and yeah. I realized I'm getting mad at a TV show for not being about like another TV show,
right?
Like I
right.
like
well, Michael Hurst. Oh my God,
what? What's this?
I'm such a fan of his. Vikings. So okay, the creator yeah. and... yeah,
Right. Okay.
Michael Hurst. Oh, my God. He's a genius. And he also did, what is it? Elizabeth the Golden Age. He's written, some of my favorite shows. The Tudors, I think. Mm-hmm. He's just amazing.
Just, I would also love to know that he did, like, you know, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. Just like, he has that one thing on his resume, and then everything else is, like, historical pieces.
No, he's not like me, Tom.
Okay. That's all right. Let's take a quick break and tell people where they can get a lovely discount on food they can cook at home. And we'll be right back after this.
I am a big believer mm-hmm. in the fact that
in
things
Scientology.
Always... no, but I found out someone really... Nah, you know what? We won't go there. It's cool. I didn't realize who was part of it, but yeah, I had an interesting conversation.
Okay, hang on. Is it Tom Cruise?
Yes.
There you go.
Oh my goodness. See? Did you know this?
You know what? I am, no one is more connected to the pulse of the entertainment industry than this guy.
That guy.
Yeah.
No, but honestly, I really do believe that things always work out for us
sure.
in the best possible way. I always expect the best from the world around me.
Mm-hmm.
There is a trust in that
mm-hmm. yeah.
that needs to be authentic, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying. And it's easy to say, yeah. I expect great things to come
sure.
my way. But to actually believe it and to curb your thought process
mm-hmm.
to perpetuate that and to have it actually happen in your experience right. is the true challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a challenge if you stay with it
right.
and believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it all starts with a belief. But I love that thought.
It's also like it's not just chance as well, right?
It's not chance at all. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you prepave and if you
yeah.
expect good things to come your yeah. way, they will.
Luck favors the prepared.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a way of life. You know, it's I don't know if I told you this last time, but perhaps not. It might be. I have started a magazine.
This is new.
My own magazine.
Is it L?
No.
Okay,
but
glamour.
Just as fun.
Okay.
No, it's actually, it's called PEP, P-E-P.
Okay.
PEP Mag. And it's all about finding your personal voice. And
nice.
Yeah. And it's a lifestyle, the PEP life. It's literally uplifting and supporting each other to being the best that you could possibly be,
mm-hmm.
but in a very like connected, wholesome kind
awesome.
Of way. Yeah.
So when did you start this?
This was, it's been a year now. We've had but you know what's interesting? It's been a developmental process because it's literally just me. It
mm-hmm.
started out with just an idea. And then now it's grown. And
mm-hmm.
now what's been very exciting to me is changing the entire course of the magazine. Actually, it just happened last year.
Right.
Last December
mm-hmm.
When I realized, so most of my fans, because of Rain
right.
And because of some of the other work that I've done. A lot of my fans are young. So they're like mm-hmm. the 15 to 25 demographic.
Sure.
And I get a lot of messages oftentimes, yeah,
mm-hmm.
About because I'm a positive leaning human in general, I'm
right.
just, that's just who I am. I get a lot of messages asking about how to handle depression and anxiety
mm-hmm.
and all these kinds of, you know, very prevalent feelings mm-hmm. in our society. And right. I didn't realize how, you know, prevalent they were, I guess, until I started getting this barrage of messages and responding to them. And then I realized I can probably combine the two instead of just making it a very general, like finding your own voice in your own perspective magazine, gearing it more towards things I wish they taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
And things like things that and very much life lessons that I've learned as an actor, because we are, and you know this, as an artist, you think about people and why they do what they do and are experiencing such a myriad of different experiences and emotions and things all the time that you may not have access to or you might be grappling with if you weren't an actor, you know? And so I think about this all the time. I've learned so much through my work. I've been fortunate enough to be able to explore a lot of different avenues in safe ways. And so I thought, why not start sharing and making it an open atmosphere for people to ask questions and to really help each other through this process. And so I started doing these Sunday lives. We call them Soul Sundays, where we literally just talk about anything that they want to talk about and things I wish they taught in school.
Right.
Simplicity and communication. There is no competition. Things like that, you know, and actually delving into those meaty issues, unpacking them and having them take away how-tos into their own life. And it's been such an exciting, wonderful effort on my part, I think, very meaningful effort in a way to sort of bring it all home as to why I am an actor and why I do what I do.
Like the amount of catharsis that must also provide you.
Oh gosh, it's like
it's a lovely sort of like emptying of the soul, and you just go like, oh, okay, you do this and make sure you have that. And
yeah, but I want them. It's actually become a very interactive experience where they ask questions. With you know, my goodness, yesterday we did something. I was genuinely moved. It was an incredible 1 hour live experience where I'll take in like questions from people, and someone was sharing a story about a student from their school that had committed suicide last year. And basically the entire changes that the school made, she was saying things from a very perceptive point of view that, you know, the school hadn't done anything before. The school had not been prepped whatsoever to handle that kind of situation. In fact, they were looking down on X, Y, Z. And then this happened, and now they're trying to move in a positive direction. And we just talked about that. It was remarkable. It was remarkable. I'm grateful that people are have the courage to speak up about things like that and engage and also make observations that are very useful. And so what I try to do is just say that that is all part of progress. And sometimes, you know, you notice holes along the way or you change gears along the way because of something unfortunate that happens. It often takes that contrast to sort of help lift you up in a different direction. And it's all part of it. And I think we should all be engaged in the process of awareness of that happening, you know? And that's what's been very fun and very exciting. And as an actor, for me, I love people. Oh my gosh, I just love, I love people.
This is so the wonderful. Worst career choice for you if you don't.
But it's been, and it's been such a wonderful way to continue learning to be able to impart things that have very much changed my life, you know, and realizations that have changed my life, ways of thinking that have changed my life, and having, you know, especially young minds engaged in this kind of discourse is so exciting to me. I every week it just keeps getting more and more fun, and I'm trying to structure it now in an interesting way to sort of make sure that most of the useful information gets out there, and we continue this awesome momentum. So lovely, Todd.
What has been as you've been going through this?
and you've been
you know, engaging in this process of like, you know, like bringing information and thoughts and feelings to light. What has been your biggest kind of revelation that you've discovered in yourself?
That I like to talk. I'm
not getting that.
You, that vibe. I was like really holding back on that before, but now it's like full out.
Welcome to Fire Hose Chat with Ann Kirby.
The biggest revelation, honestly, has been, okay, I'm going to tell you because it's been obvious. We are surrounded by fear. Okay. Fears. Many, many, many fears on a daily basis. Even you. We were making a joke earlier. Why do I wake up and I'm always in a bad mood?
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. Have you been outside? Have you opened up the news?
It's just, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly. So I've actually worked as a journalist for many years before. And I know very well. I'm very familiar with how the news works. And to be honest with you, this is why I do what I do right now with my magazine, because I think we need to become more selective. Right. We are the access to information that we have nowadays is tremendous. And it's not a bad thing whatsoever. But...
and There's always a but.
Well, no, I think that now more than ever, we need to become selective sifters, like we were talking. There is it's very important what you choose to engage with.
Right.
And especially with the fear-mongering that is happening in North America now, everything, even our consumer-driven society, basically... depends on us worrying about a myriad of things.
Right.
Our health, our, you know, well-being, organic food, not organic food. It's like the things that we invest our thoughts in basically determine how worried or how fearful we are. And the fact that there is so much... I've encountered a lot of shock at my personal positivity and optimism. I don't know why that surprises people so much.
Right.
But I do, in a way, because it is something that we don't hear very much of.
Right.
And if we do, it is often judged, or there's a judgmental tone to, how is that person so happy?
Right.
Why are they optimistic? When I growing up, I was called, even by teachers, I was called Disney. I was told that I, you know, I will never forget, and I... God rest her soul, because we lost her a few years back. But one of my English teachers, I'll never forget, Mrs. Klein, she was a wonderful teacher, but made me feel very uncomfortable one time in class, because in front of the class, she asked about a character description. I don't even remember what the... We were examining a character, and I had said what my analysis of the character was and their motivation and yada yada, and it was a very positive one, and it was a very, you know, lovely outlook. And she goes, "Oh, Anne, you are, that's just you. You gotta live some life." And I was like, "Okay." And she goes, "You have a dog; it's gonna die.
Right?
Okay, so just get used to it." And I went,
wow,
like that in front of the class, right? And I said, listen, this woman taught me a lot. I appreciate her very much. But I will never forget that day. And I thought to myself, and I said this in front of the class because I felt very strongly about this.
Right.
So why not enjoy the dog while it's alive? I'm not going to think about the dog dying.
Right.
I'm going to enjoy my dog. Yeah, it's a fact of life. Sure, you can choose to look at it that way. You can say, yep, I got a dog, and sure, it's a cycle of life and whatever. But then what's the point of the experience?
Right.
You know? And so I'm not going to focus on... I've always looked at the excitement of life and the you know, I've had that optimism in me, in my heart. And when I say that I'm truly connected to my life purpose now, I genuinely feel that. And I think that more than ever, there's a need for sensitivity and kindness and less judgmental attitudes in our society. As much as I'm a fan of humor, as long as it's done with a light heart, there's nothing wrong with judgment. But
no, absolutely.
Yeah. But there is just such a witch hunting kind of mentality going on nowadays, where everyone is just out of blood, you know? But
so the... to that point, and this brings up your trip to L.A. very nicely. Yeah. You're going into the land of Weinstein and hashtag Me Too. so I was doing a show last night, and we got into this huge debate about what's appropriate to say.
Okay.
Like what can you say? Can you make jokes? Because the backstory of this, and I'm hoping to bring this. I don't want to get into the details of it, but you know, a joke that was being tried didn't work for this one particular comic.
Okay.
It did not engage the audience properly.
Uh-huh.
And so there was stuff that happened afterwards. Again, I won't get into it, but like an altercation, but nothing severe, but like, you know,
yep.
And a activity that was not appropriate to what had happened. Like it was basically that. So we had this discussion, and first of all, I love white guys who sit at a bar and go, "You can't make fun of anything these days." And mm-hmm. like, as soon as I hear that, I know you just want to be able to say your joke with the N-word in it. I get it. But here's the thing. You can. And I've always described comedy as fugu,
mm-hmm.
which is what I thought was fake sushi. But it's not. It's a thing. And I learned about it from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And fugu is the most delicious piece of sushi you'll ever have, but you have to cut it properly. If you uh-huh. cut it right, it's perfect. It's delicious. Love if you it. Don't, you die Love because it. Of all the toxins in the blowfish. Mm-hmm. So comedy is fugu. You have to cut it right.
Good and for so you, Todd. I love
when,
that. Love
when
it.
I firmly believe in my soul of souls mm-hmm. that you can make a joke about anything.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed.
What has to happen, however, mm-hmm. in the way that you choose to do it, is there has to be a handshake with the audience. And yeah. that means the audience as a whole. You have to engage that trust and be able to say, gonna take you on a bit of a ride.
Yeah.
You know it's fine. You yeah. know it's fine. Here's me. 'Cause my favorite style of joke that I write is the perfect example. Michelle Kim... Julie Kim. Julie Kim, a Asian female comic, now makes her home in Vancouver. She was she's a delightful, you know, lovely woman. I was hosting, and she left the stage, and I go, "Ladies and gentlemen, Julie Kim." And this is a joke I do for her, and I just I don't even look at the audience. I just like kind of follow her with my gaze, and I let the applause die down. And I go, "God, she's cute as a bug's ear, isn't she? She's just a delight. She makes me wish I was 10 years younger and not racist."
Oh, shit.
Boom. And I'm like, that's the handshake. That's the perfect yeah. example of yeah. what I mean. It's like, you know, I have made a joke that is completely inappropriate that no one in that room does not realize that that's a joke.
Yes.
Right? Because I am making fun of how ludicrous it would be to be that openly racist.
Yes.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, yep. it's that moment where you just go, we need that handshake. So to get back to your kind of, you know, the witch huntery that is currently going yes. on. The more it comes to light, the better. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking about this last night. It's like, oh, well, who better to talk about hashtag Me Too than a bunch of guys? And so they're like, oh, guys.
And why not?
Well, here's the thing. Guys' careers can be ruined. It's like, well, the asshole guys, yeah, right? Oh, because the pendulum had been buried on yes. the side of the Harvey Weinsteins of the world for so long. Yeah, it's swinging back the other way.
Yeah.
But even so, it's my perception. And by the way, my wife asked me, she's like, you're okay, right? Because I'm like, sweetheart, I have zero power in this industry. I have stand-up comedy and this, right? And it's not like Anne's like, hey, Doug, can I be on your show? Well, let's see what damn titties have to say. And that's not happening. So...
I kind of disagree with you, though, to be honest, because I think you have tremendous power. I think every single person has power.
Sure.
But that's, I think that's the premise that we need to begin with to create meaningful change.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Because for the longest time, I was doing a few interviews. I think it was, I don't even remember what I was talking about, mm-hmm. like a while back. And the thing that while this Weinstein situation was happening, the thing that really started bothering me is so many people making it seem like the industry is infested with this sort of behavior. Mm-hmm. And that, I'm not saying that's not true.
Right.
But what's much more true to me personally and more interesting is that you can choose who to engage with in this industry. Right. There is freedom in it. And because we move around so much, the way that we ever change. You can't, like, literally, yes, there are these people, like mm-hmm. the Weinsteins of the world. They exist at, like, all levels of society.
They're everywhere.
At this very point. And even on a female, from a female side, too, there's some ladies that mm-hmm. have done inappropriate things, too, you know, and but not as
Do
much.
Do you
but,
have their numbers?
No, to be fair, it's like, for me, it's much more interesting to bring it back to yourself and how you lead by example. Because you mm-hmm. do. You always lead by example, which is why I'm telling you, yes, right. you have power
yes.
with what you talk about, with what you mm-hmm. say, with how you conduct yourself, with what you teach your children
right.
how to handle each other and what's
Ernie
right
will not
and wrong.
Be sexist. He will not be sexist.
We know he's got a streak.
That's right.
Well, no, he's open. We know he's open, actually.
Yes, he's, yeah.
But, so I, oh, geez, so much to talk about when it comes to this. But honestly, I feel very strongly about the need mm-hmm. To not jump on a bandwagon for the purpose of jumping on a bandwagon.
Right.
To stay grounded mm-hmm. in your purpose, to understand that each and every one of us perceive the world through our lens, through mm-hmm. our very personal lens. So when you make a joke mm-hmm. and you make it safe for the audience to appreciate that joke, you know that intrinsically some will appreciate it and others won't.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way things work.
Right.
Just like in every other aspect of life, you know, some will appreciate you and mm-hmm. take you as you are, and others right. won't. It's okay. You don't need... The ones that don't mm-hmm. can freely flow out of your experience right. just as easily as they flew in. And that's, you know, the art of being an artist. Mm-hmm. It's just such a personal... engagement, I guess, that you undertake
right.
as an artist, right? And you cannot just blow in the wind in terms of, you know, what you stand for and what you put out there, or be afraid to put right. something out mm-hmm. because your life will be ruined for it.
Right.
One of the things that really bothered me, I'm a big Kevin Spacey fan. I do want to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Kevin Spacey was crazy. Was, to me, you know, I mean... And to be fair, I don't know what happened. And none of us know what actually happened.
Right.
And it was 30 years ago. But to have an entire body of work be tarnished mm-hmm. and at the talent that he's got for the, you know, for what he's accomplished in his
right.
life, to have that be tarnished in that way kind of broke my heart mm-hmm. as a fan and as a, and looking at from an outsider perspective in terms of fairness,
right.
period, that was not fair.
Right.
And as much as I'm a huge fan of this movement, and I think there is an incredible gift to the collective consciousness that is happening right now, the shift, this awakening, mm-hmm. this empowerment, a beautiful, beautiful movement, there is the need for balance.
Right. Yep.
The huge
and
need
I
for
think
balance.
I think, and again, we're seeing the needle swing
yeah.
the other way. And I don't necessarily disagree. Here's my thing, and I agree with you in that.
I just mentioned Kevin because
right.
I'm such a fan of his, and
oh.
I saw it, and I was like, that's just not right.
Glengarry Glen Ross
right.
is one of my favorite movies of all time, and that's yeah. and that's one of the reasons that I like him as an actor.
Yeah.
By the way, when you look at some of his roles, you go, oh, maybe he is a little creepy. But
well,
here's the thing.
Everyone's got their thing, but to ruin an entire career based on, you know what I mean? It's just not.
He may have been swept up in mm-hmm. this and where, you know, again, where the needle is buried. And, if the actual details of it come to light to see how it's impacted someone, like you should never, the reason this is all happening is that men, typically mm-hmm. men in power are using that power to, their own pleasures mm-hmm. at the expense of people who do not want to be consumed by this and yeah. are. So that's the problem.
But I'm going to just put it out there.
Okay.
Nobody can consume you into anything. I genuinely believe this in my heart of hearts. Yes and no. I think that this is the awakening. This is the true power that we are all just becoming aware of at this moment.
Right.
You can choose how swept up you're going to be in something.
Mm-hmm.
It is always at your fingertips. It is just as much your responsibility to engage with something wholeheartedly or not. And when you feel yourself in a situation, and this is the kind of conversation that I want to have, when you meet a Weinstein, mm-hmm. what do you, how do you prepare yourself right. for that kind of situation? As a woman, as a man, anybody, mm-hmm. you know, how do you prepare yourself for that situation? Not the fact that, oh, by the way, you're going to meet these types of people in life.
Right.
You know, yeah. Surprise. Sadly, yes, mm-hmm. this is going to happen, but you are in control always what of how you handle yourself.
I agree, but at the point when Weinstein was doing the bulk of his work, let's call it, he was a gatekeeper for careers.
Sure.
So when you are faced, if you see yourself as, I want to pursue this as a career, and that is the stumbling block, this is the guy that provides me passage into it or not.
No, he's not the only guy that provides passage. Correct. That's the problem.
Correct.
Yeah.
But when he is using, again, his power to describe to you the fact that you will not work in this town again unless you start looking at my little bits. Mm. When it is described to you that way and you see him as that, because you're young and impressionable at that time as well.
Yeah.
So that's the other side of this. I agree with you. People who can make smart, conscious decisions will not have this problem. By the way, this is comedy about the public, all comedy all the time.
It's not about not encountering these situations. That's not what we're talking about at all. No. It's about empowering you to understand that you always have a choice.
Right.
And that's my stance, you know, and I not ever taking anything away from someone traumatized or has experienced mm-hmm. anything like this. Ever, ever, ever. And I got to tell you, I've experienced some things, but mm-hmm. At the same time, I've been very lucky, mm-hmm. you know, because when you sense something is off about a situation, you can remove yourself from it, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm very
You've been able to do that, I hope.
Yes. Okay, and there's things that happen, you know, but it's like, what I love to talk about is truly empowering yourself and not being, you know, the thing that's amazing is whenever you talk to someone that's actually mm-hmm. experienced something like this, their survival instinct mm-hmm. and the fighting spirit is just remarkable, mm-hmm. you know, and it's there and I commend anyone's strength. That it takes a ton of strength to get through something like that.
My wife mentioned it, like when Me Too was at the apex, like, you know, when it was, well, she was like, yeah, it happened to me. Yeah. I was like, post it.
But how do you victimize yourself? I mean, it depends on the degree to which it happens to you.
Sure.
You know, the degree of trauma definitely makes a difference.
If there's the range of this runs from inappropriate comment to devastating rape. Like, absolutely. like that's how big the spectrum is.
Yes.
And yes, there are scales and degrees, but it does not, you can't dismiss the fact that someone did something inappropriate.
100%.
Right?
And that the fact that we're having that conversation makes me so excited just about the level that we've reached in our society. You know,
I went to see a play during the Toronto New Ideas Festival.
Yeah.
That French. And it was a play called Jono. Are you familiar with this?
No.
Okay. So it was basically a chronicled story of the Gian Gamesi.
Oh, okay.
Saga, let's call it. The epic drama that was Gian Gamesi. By the way, really happy he's not getting work now.
Yeah.
Where is he working? Is he trying to get the band back together?
See, this is how I don't even... Right? This is, it's flown right out of my consciousness, sadly. But
I look forward to him fronting a Moxie Fruvis cover band. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, here's King of Spain. They put on this show, and a couple of friends of mine were in this. Awesome. So I was like, oh, I get to go support. Mm-hmm. And it's brutal. Like, it's a very, very brutal telling and staged in a way where there is no flinching from it. Like, you see abuse as it was described. And so, like, and I was worried about, like, as soon as, like, I didn't know anything about it. Yeah. I just knew the title. And I went, okay, I'm going in, because I love doing that. I like going into a theater or a movie or something where I know nothing.
Yeah, you can be surprised.
Right?
Yep.
And by the way, halfway through, still the same thing. I'm pretty dumb. Nothing. So, and then I start reading the program, and it's like, we all know the assault that this is based on. And I'm like, wait, what? And then as soon as the curtain comes up, it's a guy in a radio studio. And I went, oh, they're just going to do the whole And like, I worry about stories that kind of just rehash a particular event, but it was done really well.
Okay.
The staging of it, it was, and it used the transcripts and it used the pockets of information that we had very effectively. It's a really, really nice piece. But what brings me to this point, why I was thinking of it, is at the beginning of the show, the stage manager came out and said, thank you for coming to this festival, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, there's a, you know, couldn't do it without these people funding, blah, 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 blah. Now. Mm. And then she would go, okay, here comes the but. And it's like, there is going to be very severe stagings and performances of sexual assault.
Oh, wow.
If this in any way triggers you, you are more than welcome to leave the stage, to mm-hmm. leave the theater, and then you can return at a time when things have calmed down.
Wow. See, this is the kind of sensitivity and kindness sure. that I very much appreciate.
I get that. But, you know, 5 years ago, you would have gotten a thing like that about strobe lights.
Right.
Right? You know, someone's going to be smoking a cigarette on stage. Hope you're cool with it. Right? Now it's like, by the way, a woman's going to get taken to town on. Yeah. And it's like, I get that. Like, I can't imagine being in a situation. Like, I would have wanted that as a precursor warning.
Yes.
Because, and for anyone who decries that and says that, oh, it's like, what are you fucking snowflake libtard? I'm like, no. Think about it. If you're that traumatized about something that has happened to you, you're going to want the heads up.
I got to tell you, I am very excited to hear that, because that is the kind of progress that is enlightening and encouraging to mm-hmm. see. Again, the sensitivity and the kindness and the awareness that shows is tremendous. And it's very interesting. You think about, you hear these stories. I even called it the Gomeshi saga when mm-hmm. we first started talking about it.
Right.
And so, yes, it does become something that if you're not directly attached to, you are aware of, but mm-hmm. It doesn't have an effect.
Right.
Until you go to something like this and you see it, which is very different from reading about it or hearing about it or in any way being attached to it that's less personal.
Right.
And there is such power in that.
Yeah.
And I very much appreciate hearing stories like that. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the courage it takes to put on something like that and be a part of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, true art kind of comments on the social climate of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to everyone involved in that, because I think that's very brave and powerful and important.
One of the turning moments for me that I went from, oh, why this, to, oh, this, was it brought back some of the things that we kind of forgot about.
Right.
Like, there's a moment where he's first wooing his kind of first victim that we see on the stage. And, you know, there's a teddy bear, because we all remember the teddy bear. And then the guy, Jason DeLine, you know, friend of the show, says, well, he's not going to want to see this next part. And he turns the thing away. And I just went, oh, gross. Like, I fucking remember that. And I remember going, ooh, weird, creepy. But then when you see it staged, it makes it visceral.
Wow.
And like, when you're in, and this is why I think it works as theater, because you're in the same room as it.
Yes.
And that's why it's just hammering.
And again, it's got to be done well. And I appreciate that you said that, because, you know, it's sometimes the things that don't resonate with me are gratuitous for, you know, a lot of what our society is nowadays, unfortunately, is sound bites that are what? Extremes, right? They are meant to either for hype or for shock value or for this, clicks, this,
whatever.
Click, yeah.
You won't believe number 14 on this list, right?
Ugh. Yeah. And I don't, to be honest, I don't engage with much of that. That doesn't speak to me at all. And it's very nice to hear that that's not what's happening here, even though there's definitely the danger of that. When you're tackling an issue that has had so much exposure as this, there's always, you know, that fine line that you walk between what's valuable to continue engaging in and highlight and what is not.
Right.
And it sounds like this was done well, you know, and to be honest with you, what I haven't appreciated And what I didn't engage with online. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. And again, I really, 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 I want to preface this by saying, appreciate the climate of change and the discourse that's happening in our society nowadays. But I don't appreciate people that comment on Facebook or you know, negative attacking, or on YouTube sometimes. Someone will post something and it's just very, very... basically jumping on a bandwagon for the sake of jumping on a bandwagon and me too-ing it all.
Right.
Whether or not you are genuinely affected by something or not, there's a difference to me and in my heart between getting justice for something that deserves light in your life and that is going to heal a wound and is going to help others in the process and literally trying to take advantage of a climate that's, you know, So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm very connected to this notion of justice. Right. And I think it's really important that we maintain balance in that, you know.
I'm with you on this.
So as not to dilute the power of the ones who are genuinely seeking, you know, who are genuinely in need of healing and
I try to be positive. Like I try, I try to be. And you know, if people are following me on Twitter,
he's like, "Wait, is that a joke? Was that?" They're going, "Oh, you're so funny, Todd."
Oh, this is you being positive? What's a sad day like? I literally have that where people go, "It was like friends of mine." Will come and go, you're so good on Twitter. You're like, you're so positive. I go,
good on Twitter.
You didn't follow me today because it was a shitstorm. I'm trying to be better. One of the things that I do enjoy doing and that we do from the Twitter handle for this podcast is we retweet what our guests are doing.
Oh,
and so
that's
if they're
great.
Doing like something fun, then it's like it's not just about episodes. We will so you can actively see what our previous guests have done, and you
it's
go
like a community.
I love it. That's what we're trying to do. It's like we're literally trying to build like that nice little community where you go. It's a positive kind of like we're all creating stuff. Like the reason that I have people on this show is that they're creators. They're doing something right. And, you know, they're not, yes, they can be comics, but like other people have a story. And like, you know, the first time that we had you on, and I do hope you come back again because you're a wonderful repeat guest because you're constantly doing things. This Pep magazine that you got where you're talking to teens and going, don't suck. That's great. You know? That's fantastic.
Thanks, Todd. Todd.
And then you're going to LA for 3 months. I mean, like these are things that are
fun. In Ireland. I'm so excited.
Okay. Whoa. Ireland. The fuck is this now? You don't like Toronto.
Oh, no. No, I love you.
Get me out of this shithole. When's Ireland happening?
April.
Okay. Is this vacation or you're working? What are you doing?
A project. That I can't talk too much about yet, but...
Okay. Can I guess? Rain 2.
Ooh, it's period.
Okay.
It's a period film. It's a film.
Okay.
Awesome. The first of three.
Right.
And I'll be kicking ass.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'll be, for the first time, and this is what's exciting, is I'm training. I'm on it.
Right.
I'm trying to be positive because part of me is like really nervous about the action sequences.
Uh-huh.
But
how's your Irish accent?
I don't have to do one. Oh, okay. So very good. Very good. Okay. It's a vampire trilogy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not pursuing this any further.
Yeah.
I'm not pursuing this any further. We will.
It's very exciting.
I will wait for the ability to retweet what you're going to be blagging on about. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Community.
That's going to be so gorgeous.
But I've honestly been starting. I've been kickboxing. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that's like teaching me stage combat.
Right.
It's great.
Were you the one that was talking about Soul Cycle when you were on here?
No.
Was that okay? Okay. Because there was another actress we had on. And she talked about Soul Cycle, and I go, okay, what's that? What's that?
Well, and apparently, I'm guessing it's a sweat inducing.
Yeah, it's like, so how's that different than extreme biking or whatever the hell they call that?
Spin.
And I was like, oh, it's probably more in touch with. Okay, that's fine. I trust me, Anne, I'm with you for as long as I can, but I do middle aged white guy at some point. I just go, okay.
All right, I hear you.
I am trying to use my white privilege for good. I am trying to get in front of these. In the words of Jackie Cation, a wonderful comic, I'm trying to provide a meat shield, you know, for all the badness that occurs out there. She has these lovely meat shield t-shirts that you should go out and get. It's Jackie Cation, another former guest of the show. She's fantastic.
Love it.
So you're going to LA, I assume it's for pilot season. Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, for a couple months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be down there for about 2 months and we'll be, doing a web series while I'm
Beautiful.
Down there. I'm going to connect with some, amazing people that I worked with in the summer, mm-hmm. On a project. And I'm honestly really looking forward to sunshine.
Yeah. 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 Right. Right.
I'm looking forward to some warmth. I don't do winter well.
The amount of despair in my wife's eyes when she came downstairs and she went, okay, so how do I need to dress for tomorrow? I said, well, it's going to be minus 10 today going to minus 17. And she just collapsed. I was like, oh, sweetie. Oh.
Yeah. Sometimes you
and
wish
I don't
you
mean
had
that
more.
In the condescending, sassy gay man online sense. It's like, oh, sweetie. You know, by the way, that is my favorite takedown. I don't use it nearly enough myself. Because I have not been put in an opportunity to do so. But know this, I'm going to oh sweetie it up when I have opportunity. It's just so condescending and viscerally fabulous. It's just so
I love
good.
That you think that because I kind of like it.
Yeah. Oh sweetie.
Boom.
Right.
There I just got oh sweetie. Mm-hmm.
Well, no. And that was a fake one. Because keep in mind, you're also getting it from a cis male sitting across from you, you know, looking for clicks on the back of your career. So, right? Let's have that.
Oh, sweetie.
Oh, sweetie.
You think you're going to get clicks? Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, sweetie. And thank you. Thank you for being here. Thanks, where do people find you online? What's your internet presence?
At Ann Pervu, A-N-N-P-I-R-V-U. It's like super boring and awesome, but consistent.
Right.
Consistent.
And that's across Twitter, Instagram, the facing book,
that's
all of
right.
that. Okay.
The facing everything.
Right. And good luck in L.A.
Thank
Have
you
fun
so
with the web
much.
Series. I can't wait to come back and we can talk of vampires next time.
I'm so excited. I'm Romanian, so like I'm finally,
that's
you
right.
know,
that's
embodying
right.
my birthright.
Uncle Vlad! You know? Please, please tell me you have to talk like this for 3 months.
Okay. I'm gonna channel. I'm gonna channel.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
Right. You know what? This is what I want to hear. I want to hear this story happen. Cut. Okay, Anne, less Count Chocula, please. Less Count Chocula.
Dial back on the chocolate.
Dial it back. Okay, come on. All right, neck biter. Nice one. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of Twitter, you can follow this very podcast at Hey It's TVA. As I say, we retweet all the fun stuff that people are doing. So you can check out and make sure that Anne, you know, when she's going to town on the supple neck of some youth, that will be there.
I'll make sure to post succulent videos.
You have very aggressive canines as well. Those are
wow.
fun.
Oh, yeah.
Those are great.
They're going to work in my favor.
Holy
Why do you
shit.
Think they
I never noticed them until now. Like, oh my God. No wonder. Okay, this is the last you're going to hear from me in a non-undead form. You can follow me personally at Hayes TVA. Go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, talk shit about us in the commentary. yes, 5 stars, talk shit about us in the commentary, right? You can tell us about, you know.
Ending
how,
on shit again. I
on
can't
shit
even...
again. It's like, Todd, you wouldn't
Full
know
circle.
Humping if it came and bit you in the leg. Whatever. do that, but funny. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Anne, the erstwhile Darcy, and myself, when you listen to Cat Pee, you're in for a good time. Jimmy, you are always the podcat.
Lately, I find I rush. Can't piece together the sun in the sky, the spots on my face.